City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show. Each week we will be bringing you some classic moments from our award-winning programme on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Don't forget, if you want to hear the show live along with our latest guests and discussions, you can join me weekdays between 2 and 6am on City Talk across the North West and North Wales on 105.9 FM or on DAB Digital Radio, or you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. This week we hear from former MI5 agent David Shaler, who had some fascinating things to say. Take a listen to this.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett.
David, first of all, before we get into the full thrust of the interview, tell us a little bit about your background with the government, if you like, and MI6.
Well, I worked for MI5 for 5 years. I'm most famous for actually blowing the whistle for revealing a plot in which MI6 funded Al-Qaeda, or Associated of Osama bin Laden in Libya, basically the cat assassination plot, and anyway, they do it without permission of the government, basically.
What motivated you, knowing that the business you're in, and I do apologise, I said MI6 when you meant MI5, knowing the business that you were in, that you were going to be dealing with secrets and stuff like that, what made you want to blow the whistle on that particular, if you like, that particular operation?
Well, there's a lot of misunderstandings about what goes on in the intelligence services, and as far as I was concerned, I was there to actually stop terrorism. Part of my work helped put IRA terrorists behind bars and helped bring about a resolution to the Lockerbie issue. So when I was actually briefed on a plot in which we were funding the terrorists, and these were the new flavour of the month, this was Al-Qaeda, essentially, I was absolutely astounded. And, of course, they did this without the permission of government, making it a criminal offence. And, of course, they also killed innocent people, and you know, anybody who thinks it's wrong to blow the whistle on that, I would say, you know, if your children were killed in an attack like that, you wouldn't know what happened.
What year would that have been, David?
That was 96.
Right.
And then I blew the whistle in 97, but unfortunately the Mail and Sunday didn't publish the meat of my allegations. I had other allegations about inefficiency and incompetency, really, in terms of letting terrorist attacks happen. But that was less serious. This wasn't the, you know, the active funding of terrorism, as the case was with the funding of Al-Qaeda. But anyway, I went on the whistle on the record, and I went on the run for a bit, and I was beyond, obviously, the jurisdiction of the British. But they tried to extradite me when I presented the information about MI6 funding Al-Qaeda to the British government, would you believe? They tried to extradite me.
Right, I see. So, obviously, we do a lot of shows. We've had the likes of David Icon and numerous people who don't buy into the official version of events and things like that. And by the same token, we've got a lot of people who will ring up and say, look, if this kind of conspiracy stuff is absolute nonsense. What would you say to somebody who would be saying that to you in the position that you were in, the kind of things that we heard about, the potential that something wasn't right on 9/11 or 7/7? What would you say as an answer to that?
I would say get out on the internet and do some more research, because the evidence is out there and it's absolutely incontrovertible. 9/11 and 7/7 were inside jobs. The world is run by the international bankers who lend money to governments, therefore they control the purse strings and control everything that goes on. But they also try to control through the control of energy and oil, through the control of pharmaceuticals. We're in the absurd position in the world today where your family doctor will prescribe you poisons, which are approved by the state, but you're not actually allowed to smoke cannabis, which is not a poison. I mean, we really do live in a world, and forgive me for saying this, but it really is arse about face.
Well.
And I think anybody who doesn't know that is just ignorant, because there's plenty of information out there on the internet to check. If they're not sure of the interpretation of that evidence, go and talk to somebody who does know about it, or come and talk to us. We've got a truth website we're about to launch, in which it looks at these issues very, very clearly, and the evidence for 9/11 and 7/7 is overwhelming. In fact, they seem to be some sort of coup d'etat.
Right. I see. OK, well, we've actually discussed 9/11 on a number of occasions, but yeah, you know, we can see the motivation. You know, if you were looking at it, if I was to play, you know, your side of the argument here, I can see the motivation for it, because that allows a lot of change to legislation in the United States and, you know, obviously gets you into Iraq if that's where you want to be. But why 7/7? Why would 7/7 be used by the British government, if you like? What possible gain could they have from that?
Well, let's be clear. This isn't carried out by governments. I'm not accusing governments of carrying this out. I'm accusing the people behind governments, as I say, the international banking industry, what people call either the Zionists or the New World Order. But the same with 7-7. I mean, MPs in Britain were actually questioning the whole idea of identity cards, and they were questioning the idea of passing laws that allow the government to put people in prison without trial. But strangely enough, as a result of 7-7, those laws went through. So that was the motivation. It's absolutely clear. And it was also, of course, to try and create fear amongst the British population. I mean, obviously, by the time 7-7 came, it had been quite a while since 9-11, so they had to create that fear again, create fear in Britain, and obviously knock-on effect of creating fear in America. And then the whole program of repression can be cranked up again. So it's absolutely obvious to me why they carried out 7-7.
Right. So in terms of that, then, it was to basically get through these laws, if you like, which give greater control to the powers that be in order to govern the people.
Yeah, absolutely. But also to keep the program rolling. I mean, obviously, 9-11 had kind of kicked it off. But, you know, people at that point were starting to question 9-11 and were starting to question what was going on. So they needed to knock people into fear again. That's what these things are all about. It's like a shock to the system. People live in a lower vibration because they become scared. And because they're scared, they're more pliable. There's actually spiritual reasons for why this happens, for the modus operandi of the New World Order. So they create fear, and then when people in the lower vibrations do all sorts of things like take away their liberty, start locking people up without trial, and no one objects because they're living in a state of fear.
Mm. Okay. Well, let's move on to this. As I say, we've got quite a lot to cover this morning. It's David Shaler on the phone with us this morning here on City Talk 105.9. A lot of subjects to cover, and obviously we want to find out what you're doing at the moment. We'll come to that in a short while, David. But first of all, then, is the one particular group of people that we could point the finger at and say, those are the boys that's running the world?
Well, all the evidence points to the international bankers, and we know it's the Rothschilds and later on people like the Rockefellers and J.P. Morgan. So that's where the evidence goes to. Obviously, there may be people behind those people that we know nothing about, because let's face it, there are some very dark and secretive things going on out there. But, you know, my appeal now is to think people of the Rothschild clan, the children, the, you know, their daughters and so on, the wives, is please put an end to this. Stop your husbands going out and ruling the world in this way. We can show you a better way. But we do know how the people are involved. There is evidence pointing in a particular direction.
Right. And what would their ultimate motive be? I mean, these are the richest people on the planet. Well, why would they want any more money?
Well, that's it. Well, it's gone beyond wealth now. It's all about control. And obviously, in the run-up to 2012, humanity is about to go through a spiritual evolution. And the people who've essentially ruled for 6,000 years, it's the same families, the same bloodlines, really wants to preserve their slave race. And, of course, you know, my role is to come along and try and show a different way in which people live in unconditional love and therefore are freed. But that is the agenda behind this. It's all about stopping spiritual activation. That's why they put poisons into your system like mercury and formaldehyde in the vaccination program, for example. That's all about poisoning people. And they're going to have to say to people, don't have vaccinations. There's no evidence they even work.
Right. This is obviously from your original, if we go back to your days prior to being involved in the Secret Services and that, I mean, would you say you're fundamentally a different person from that to where you are now?
Of course we are, but we all go on that journey. We're all different people when we're 15 to when we're 21 to when we're 35 to when we're in our 40s. That's a journey everyone goes on. I suppose my journey in many ways has been more extreme. I mean, I was a journalist and activist for many years, and obviously I worked for the Sunday Times, and I was an MI5 officer. I was a management consultant for a bit. I ran a newspaper at one point, and then, of course, I went on the run from the intelligence services. So I've been to prison. I've been involved in, therefore, campaigning on all sorts of issues. I represent myself in court. So I've had quite a varied life.
Yeah, you seem to. I've got to say this, David. You are not an unusual case. I seem to be interviewing an awful lot of people who seem to be taking this path that you're taking.
Well, that's because the cosmic energies are changing. I mean, I know people know about my background, but I awoke around 777, and that triggered off a whole lot of cosmic reactions, which are changing the cosmic energies literally as we speak. I mean, I can feel this. People say, talk about 2012, they say, well, if nothing happens, and I say, well, it's already happening. And if you can't feel it at the moment, that's because you're not living at the right level of resonance. But believe me, by the time 2012 comes, you will know that there is change afoot.
What is going to happen in 2012?
Well, the universe is actually changing shape. We currently live on something called the Tree of Life, and we're about to go into this kind of geodecahedron shape, which is 13 consciousnesses. It will be 12 around the one in a kind of 3D formation. And what we're about to do is enter the seventh universal age. When the Bible, it talks about God taking, you know, 6 days to build the world, then the seventh day he rests. The actual interpretation of that is it takes six universal millennia or ages to create the world that we can live in before we can kind of live a life of ease.
Right. I see. So any particular time? We mentioned 2012. Is there any particular days in that year that we could be expecting some major noticeable change?
Well, the major notable change will happen at the end of 2009, beginning of 2010, when there'll be no new births. Days will go to 16 hours.
Sorry, David, there'll be no new...
No new births.
No, well, as in childbirth?
No new childbirth. No.
In the year 2009?
At the end of 2009, beginning of 2010, that the childbirth will end.
What? I find that. I've never heard that one before, David. I mean, so but what you're saying, that people who... No one's going to be able to conceive children after 2009?
That's right, yeah. And what because there's not enough time for the bodies to grow to accept a soul before 2012, so there's no point in the exercise. And the days will be going to 16 hours because time is in a spiral and it's now in the very core of the spiral and going absolutely crazy.
Right, OK.
So this thing's going to happen. And also there's going to be a Venus transit across the sun in November 2011. That's going to lead to all sorts of chaos. And then in 2012, we're going to have a lot of solar flare activity. And it's one of my tasks that I've been given by Jesus to gather together 2 million children to sing Green Sleeves to dampen down the effect of the solar flares.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Jesus Christ there. I mean, are you telling us that you're in communication with this man?
I'm actually in communication with the Jesus soul. Jesus is a soul who reincarnates and has done so throughout history. He's been Plato, he's been Pythagoras, he's been Mark Antony, Lawrence of Arabia, Che Guevara, William of Orange, all sorts of... the Buddha, of course, and the Buddha as well, and Krishna. So all sorts of people over history, Osiris, have been incarnates of the Jesus soul. I am the last incarnation of that soul to take everybody else into the new universe. Now, the most difficult thing people have to accept is that Jesus Christ didn't come 2,000 years ago and die on a cross. I'm actually Jesus Christ because I am the last incarnation of the Jesus soul, and therefore I am the Messiah and the chosen one of God.
Right. Okay.
So now, obviously, people will think I've gone completely insane when I say that. And believe me, this is as strange to me as anybody because I was an atheist up until 4 years ago. But I say I have been taking an extraordinary journey, and I wouldn't be saying this stuff unless I was absolutely certain of it. And I've been shown enough evidence in ancient texts. I've been taken on a physical journey, which I've been taken to monuments, which have shown me things. And I've had all sorts of intricate signs, including a crop circle. And I defy anybody who actually, when they look at this journey, would come to any other conclusion than some spirit is trying to communicate that someone called David M. or Michael, Shayla or Shyla, born the 24th of December, who had awakened around 7-7, is the Messiah. And I fit all those categories. My birthday actually is Christmas Eve.
What was the first thing that happened that kind of moved, the first, you know, concrete thing that happened to you that moved you in this direction to believe that you are Jesus Christ?
Well, the very first thing, and people will take this again in very strange ways, but I stand by what I say. I was taking magic mushrooms, but I take them ceremonially. And for the ceremony for this one, the name of God that came up was the one that transliterates as Jezul, and it's actually, strange enough, the one for activating the Messiah within. And I went off into the countryside, and we were looking for the source of the river Dart, and Dart in Hebrew means knowledge. So it was all very symbolic. And suddenly I just got this sort of thunder crash from the heavens saying, you are Jesus and you're standing next to Joseph of Arimathea and John the Baptist. And I thought at the time we were tapping into some kind of Jungian archetype, but later on in that experience I was told that I was crucified in a previous life, telling the truth. Now, of course, in those circumstances you tend to think that you'd be Jesus, and the Spirit said, no, you're not Jesus. And then he took me on a journey through various other things, but it did at one point suddenly transpire that I was crucified with a crown of thorns and nails in 1 BC. Now, of course, we all think of the crucifixion being in 33 AD, but, of course, 1 BC is the beginning of our calendar because there's no year zero. So there is a real Jesus in inverted commas. This was Athanges. He did die on the cross. Didn't resurrect within 3 days, though. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was shown stuff like that. Then I was taken to King Arthur as well, and all sorts of previous incarnations. But I say also taken to these ancient documents, which showed me very clearly there was a pattern emerging that my name kept repeating.
Right. So as we approach 2012, there's an awful lot of work for you to do then, is there not?
Well, yes, but the cosmic energies are on my side. I mean, I do joke sometimes that, you know, as a Messiah, you have to live in the moment, otherwise you'd be overwhelmed by what's come before and overwhelmed by the task. But obviously, I live in the moment, but at the same time, the cosmic energies are all moving in the right direction. And really, to change the world at the moment, given the state it's in and given the way we can communicate with the internet, it's really not that difficult.
Right. How do your family and friends react to you now that you're on this mission, if you like?
My family have taken this with a great deal of difficulty. I mean, they're not at all religious or spiritual, so all the stuff I'm talking about seems to them complete paranoia, nonsense and everything else. With a lot of my friends, obviously I fell out with quite a lot of them when I first awoke, but as the Bible says, they will hate you, they will hate you, they will hate you, and this is the test of a Messiah. Now time has gone by and people have realised that I'm sticking at it and it's starting to make more sense, more of my friends are sort of coming back and I'm making lots of new friends as a result. Part of my mission at the moment is to track down the 144,000 who are mentioned in the book of Revelation. And my job is to locate these people, a bit like in Heroes almost. They've got sort of special powers to help the Messiah.
What's so special about these people?
When I said before that Jesus incarnates as a human being, these people are now reincarnations of those human beings. So Jesus, for example, at one point incarnates as Christopher Marlowe, the Elizabethan playwright, who in fact actually wrote the plays of Shakespeare. But now the reincarnation of Christopher Marlowe has come back to help the Messiah for the end times. And in fact, I'm actually living in his place at the moment, he's part of the project.
Okay. End times. This is serious stuff. End times for who, David?
Well, I say end times because it's the changing universe. But, I mean, anybody can get into the new universe. All you've got to do is live in unconditional love.
Give me an example of how you can do that then, David.
It's going back to the very simple teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. If you live in unconditional love, and we shouldn't have to say unconditional, we just say if you live in love, it should be, because love is an understanding of all these things, that you'll unconditionally share, that when push comes to shove, you'll put others before yourself, that you won't judge people. But ultimately, the lesson of the Sermon on the Mount is you go out there and you stand up for truth and justice. You do it with love in your heart. You don't dare have hatred or revenge. But you stand up there and you bang a drum for truth and justice. And they come at you and persecute you. Jesus, in a sense, says so much the better because you get more light. Mm-hmm. So the way to do it at the moment is to actually do something practical. By all means, Go meditate, clear your mind every day, try and communicate with Jesus, but then do something, the masculine active principle. Mm. And at the moment, I'm saying to people, if you can do one thing, it's write to Gordon Brown, write to your MP, and tell them to reform the banking industry, to tell governments to print money, not banks. That's one practical thing we can do to start to remove the rule of the dark side.
So I would imagine then, and it's David Taylor, Shelley we're talking to here on City Talk 105.9 this morning, former officer with the MI5, and other things I might add as well there, David. If it would appear to me you've got this calling, and then you've got a big fight on with these very, very powerful banking institutions, which on this show many, many times we've discussed, these are surely beyond the capability of ordinary people to fight, aren't they?
Well, that's
why they're so powerful.
That's why you need a Messiah.
Okay.
And obviously I'm directed by the Jesus soul, so that makes life a lot easier. I mean, recently I did come under some enormous psychic attack, and I woke up quite ill one night. But I've been shown by Jesus that basically I'm invincible, and these people have tried to kill me over the last 10 years on many occasions in car accidents, using germ warfare, using all sorts of stuff. And the fact I've lived to tell the tale obviously scares them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say to them is that, you know, the dark side is essentially there are good people out there. They have penetrated the dark side all the way through. They have been just watching as this stuff has unfolded, but always just, you know, keeping the dark side in check. Mm. And they are now about to make themselves known. There's a film come out called Bloodline, in which somebody who alleges to be from the Priory of Sion, a 33rd degree Freemason, has a coded conversation with the Messiah. And believe me, there are people there. I've been shown this time and time again by Jesus. So in some ways, changing the world is quite easy because we've got people in key positions already. People are desperately looking for change and they're looking for new ideas. And we have a world in which we can communicate with the internet. And I say to people, it's not just up to me, it's up to them to step up to the plate and take responsibility. Because in this world, if you cannot get out the truth about things like 9/11, you really don't deserve to live in a free society.
Mm. I'm a little bit confused there, David. You just mentioned that you speak to Jesus Christ, yet you are saying you are Jesus Christ.
No, I speak to the Jesus soul. You see, what people have got to understand is Jesus in Hebrew is spelled Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Now, people think that tetragrammaton normally is pronounced as Yahweh or Jehovah, But it's not. It's pronounced Jesus. Right. That's his name. Now, in other pantheons, there are equivalents of Jesus. There's Apollo. There's the fertility god. For every pantheon of gods, there's usually a prime god that stands out above the others, and that's Jesus. I'm not saying there aren't other gods out there. Believe me, the Archangel Michael incarnates, the Baptist incarnates, and the father-mother consciousness incarnates as Mother Mary or St. Peter.
Mm. Have you had any contact with members of the church, and have they given an opinion of this to you?
I've not really gone to... I mean, I did an address on YouTube. People can see my stuff on YouTube, Shayla TV. I did an address to the church, but not really spoken to them, no. But then again, you know, that's not the name of the game. I'm getting this off the man himself, and if people want to learn, they can come to me and learn. Mm-hmm. You know, if the church had been telling us the truth over 2,000 years, the world wouldn't be in such a mess now.
Mm. And have the church been telling us the truth?
Not at all, no. I mean, and I point out that spirituality is utterly opposed to religion. Religion is a form of laws, a code to govern your life, and in much the same way as socialism is. You know, these are control systems over the human heart. What spirituality is all about is it's your journey with God, basically. There's no laws. It's all about love, and it's all about learning and wisdom, basically.
So,
also, I want to stress as well, a lot of fun. I want to stress to people that I want this to be fun. One of the great spiritual lessons is you've got to laugh at yourself in any occasion. And the other thing, of course, is to embrace the sexual energy. Sexuality is a big part of this spirituality. That's a big part of the celebration of God.
So it's almost, if I'm reading this correctly then, David, it's as if, like, right, OK, get yourself out there, bed as many women as possible, and this will be looked on quite favourable by the man upstairs?
Well, if you do it in love, obviously you go around exploiting women and not treating them properly. That'll lead to bad karma, of course it will.
Right.
But if you're truly giving sexually and you do it out of true love... because obviously you live in unconditional love, you love everybody, therefore everybody you have sex with you love.
Right.
But that whole sexuality thing, it's a celebration of life, it's a celebration of touching God. Having an orgasm is the simplest way of touching God.
So you wouldn't be frowned upon if you were going to a swingers club then or anything like that?
No, if that's all consenting, that's all part of the celebration of life. It really is. And, you know, people who want to hide the naked human body, you've got to wonder why they want to hide God's work. I mean, I find, you know, with the form of the human female, God's greatest creation.
Right. Okay. So what's the next step then, David? You've been given this job, if you like. What's your next job to do?
Well, what I'm doing at the moment is coordinating it. I'm just about to get a website up, and I've started to appeal to people like Mohammed Al-Fayed and Madonna, who are both part of the 144,000. Madonna's
really?
A reincarnation of John Hampden, who famously refused to pay his ship tax and set in chain a series of events which brought down the British monarchy.
Okay.
And Mohammed Al-Fayed is a reincarnation of Hashnapeshnut, an Egyptian queen, strangely enough.
Right. Okay, so Mohammed Al-Fayed then is a guy that we should be looking up to. He's a good geezer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had dealings with him over the past 10 years, of course, and I've never had any problems with him. I mean, he's been given a very, very hard time by the authorities, and if you stand up to those people, believe me, they will try and blacken your character and everything else. But what I'm saying to him now, obviously, is he's got to stand up to these people. I mean, just recently, of course, they've had him in the police station again. There's some bizarre allegation made against him, and this is what they will do. This is how they wrap you up in tape and wear you down. And what you've got to do, I say, is just stand up to them.
I see. Well, could we assume then that if you're saying, you know, Mohammed Al-Fayed is one of these people, that when he was claiming that the authorities had bumped off Princess Diana and his son, then he's telling the truth?
No, because obviously we're all on a spiritual journey and not everybody in the 144,000 yet is fully awoken. But certainly, obviously, I mean, I would agree with him that he's telling the truth, that there was some shenanigans behind the death of Princess Diana. I certainly think her and Dodi were murdered. But I don't think it was the British royal family. I think it was far more likely it was Mossad.
Right. What would be the purpose of, you know, the Israelis doing that?
Well, Diana was about to go to Israel on a tour, and of course Diana took the world's media wherever she went, and if the world's media had shown people what was going on in the south, in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, there would have been an international outcry.
Right.
So the Israelis couldn't allow that to happen.
At City Talk 105.9, my guest this morning is David Shaler, former MI5 officer. And to list all your kind of former employees, we probably want some time, actually, to be honest with you, David, so I won't go too much into that. Before the break, we were talking about a whole lot of things, really. And one of the particular areas you mentioned was the international banking cartels, right? Based on the fact that you're saying that you are, if you like, the embodiment of Christ on this planet, Am I to assume that these bad guys who are controlling the finances of the world, are they the embodiment of Satan on this planet?
No, there is an incarnate of Satan, but they are... No, they're not necessarily. There are dark entities out there and all sorts of dark attachments that attach to people. And they do appear to be some sort of darker souls. I mean, I don't like to look at them too much, but they don't really have too much power. But certainly there is an incarnation of the devil. There is an incarnate of Satan, because Satan is, in fact, the archangel Michael. Satan in Kabbalah merely means the opponent. It's not the evil one. And Yeshua and the archangel Michael, of course, do battle. Therefore, they are opponents. And hence, the archangel Michael is Satan.
Right. I see. So what kind of things that you've mentioned what the good side of things is going to produce, and running up to 2012, towards the end of 2009, 2012, we're going to see some major changes. Are we going to see in that timescale some very bad changes which will be perpetrated by individuals like I've just mentioned then, David?
I don't think we are. I think we've seen the worst of it, really. Obviously, we've had 9/11, we've had 7/7, we've had the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. None of that's gone right for them. Mm-hmm. And I say more and more people are waking up to those things. So we're not. No, it's not going to be bad. They are, at the moment, not sure what to do with the international finance situation. They would obviously dearly at one point like to crash the world economy, but at the moment, because people have houses, they have something to lose, and therefore they can live in a state of fear. So they're not ready to crash the international economy yet. Obviously, what they've got to do first is get the prisons in place and the chipping systems in place.
Why would they want to crash the international banking system?
Because that's how it works. This is how you control assets, isn't it? Paper itself is worth nothing. But if you lend somebody some money to buy a house, and then they default on the payments, of course, as inevitably happens in these recessions, that then becomes the property of the bank. So you've turned worthless sheets of paper into hard assets.
Right, I see.
Yeah, I mean, the idea these people are on our side. No. And the idea that these, I mean, when these economic things come, everybody looks at it like medieval peasants, as if this kind of wrathful god is the economic system that we can't reason with. This is happening strategically. They state this in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, that they will use depressions and recessions to manipulate the money supply to create recessions and depressions.
So
and that's
this
how they control
not...
governments and control human beings. This is how we're all now in slavery, because our governments owe so much.
So what we're experiencing at the moment is not just kind of like, we made a couple of mistakes here, boys, and consequently the world's in a mess economically. It is an orchestrated attack, if you like, that's been created.
Yeah, on all levels. And it's also fraudulent. I mean, it's presented in the mainstream media as this is just a few guys who took too many risks, but it's not. It's actually criminal fraud. We should be told that in our headlines. These people should be on trial and put behind bars, basically. But all we're being told is there are a few too many risks in the international banking system. But, of course, because of all that, all I'm saying has now come into focus. So I'm saying to people, if you don't reform the international banking system, you and your children will be paying your taxes to keep international bankers in the lifestyle to which they're accustomed, and none of your taxes will be used to build roads or schools or hospitals.
OK. So we've got a lot on our plate at the moment then, David.
Well, I'd say it's relatively easy, really. You've got to make sure you do it from the point of view of love. And obviously, there are many pitfalls on the journey to Messiah. But believe me, it is a journey to hero. Some people spiritually talk about a return to source. That's not a spiritual journey at all. The universe wants you to improve yourself. And, of course, you improve yourself when you're tested. And believe me, my experience is testament to that, because I was tested through, all the way until I woke up and realised who I was. So, of course, Jews will test you. But I say good times are coming. It's the dark side rule is falling apart at the moment. I'm here, obviously, to try and coordinate that. If people want to help, get in touch. But also, as I say, try and do something about the international banking industry.
Right. What about Barack Obama? Is he on the good side? Is he on the bad side?
I've taken absolutely no interest in the American election at all, because whoever got elected, they were going to be manipulated from behind the scenes. It's just, it's absolutely pointless. It doesn't matter who we see in power, they will be manipulated. And the less we talk about these people and their elections, the better. Because if we had an election and no one turned up, they might have to take a bit of notice.
Is that the same in this country? Does it matter who we vote in?
It's exactly the same thing. I mean, in my lifetime, I've seen Margaret Thatcher, I've seen Tony Blair. They're supposed to be different political parties doing different things, and I saw exactly the same things happening. I've not seen the government govern properly in my lifetime, and that's because behind the scenes, I say, these international banks are constantly manipulating them, and of course this never comes out because these people also own the media. So the media aren't going to report on the dark projects of these people.
Right. So what happens to you if all this transpires, what you're selling is true, that you lead all these hundreds of thousands of people who are going to kind of change the world and things like that. What happens when you've done all that? What happens to you?
Well, obviously, I live in the moment. Don't like to speculate too much about the future. But in the new universe from 2012 onwards, we will live at a different level of frequency. We will live at a soul level. And we will be energy creators. So it's not the mad dash to survive all the time. Once that's taken away, of course, we can truly develop ourselves in terms of learning about ourselves by developing ourselves in terms of playing sports and developing our artistic music and writing skills and our oratorical skills and so on. Mm. So we can actually literally, you know, find a process of learning to be better souls. And I say, this has been presented throughout history as paradise or heaven. There's no heaven at the moment. This is what's to come. And I say, I find this very difficult to get used to myself because it's always been a struggle in my life standing up to these people. But believe me, I know more of the rules now. It's not going their way. And this is like a stately, very peaceful procession into the new world. And I do think that everybody is going into the new world. I mean, there may be some refuseniks who just refuse to live in unconditional love. But believe me, by the time we come to 2012, that they will be living in unconditional love as well.
And by the time we reach that point, I mean, here you're talking to me about the world being a better place, but we are going to live on a planet where nobody can have children and it's a 16-hour day.
Well, these things are part of a change in the run of 2012. Beyond 2012, I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work. But if you join the immortals, of course, you don't need to have children. It won't be in the same way, anyway.
But does not, having a family, having children, does not that provide you with, if you like, your unconditional love?
Well, this is one of the pitfalls of the spiritual journey, is people think that if they give their children unconditional love, that's the be-all and end-all of it. And actually, Jesus says, no, you've got to give everybody unconditional love. It should be very easy to give your family unconditional love, really. Right. Although I've got to say, in many cases, people in families fail to do that. I think the family's massively overrated from my own point of view. It really is.
Right. David Shell is my guest on the phone this morning here on City Talk 105.9. David, I've completely lost my train of thought on this. Actually, I don't know whether or not I'm being psychically attacked myself there. But, that obviously we've got these things that's going to be coming up and what have you, a lot of things to look forward to in your estimation over there. Recently, I just want to get your opinion on this one. It's come back to me now, thank God. Recently, we saw changes. You've been talking about spirituality quite a lot during the course of this conversation. And recently we have seen legislation brought in which has taken, if you like, the spiritual movements out of being the spiritual movements and into the commercial markets. Because as you know, or you may not know, there used to be a law governing mediums, which was the Fraudulent Mediums Act, which is now actually coming under the Trading Standards. Do you feel as though, is that not by accident, it's by design because there's a bigger agenda there?
Well, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it difficult for anybody who's trying to challenge their view of the universe. So anybody who's presenting a view of the universe in which you can perhaps read people's auras or predict the future, and these things are possible. I'm not saying everybody obviously out there advertising can do it, but there are some people obviously genuinely plugged in who can do that. Mm-hmm. So what they will try and do is obviously close down people doing this kind of thing by threatening them with trading standards prosecutions and so on. And believe me, I say it's across the board. I mean, I will talk about things like cannabis because, cannabis is a medicine. It's a food stuff. You can build buildings out of it. You can insulate your buildings. You can power your cars with it. You wonder why this stuff has been banned. It's been banned because, as I say, these forces of darkness know all this. But one of the things about cannabis is it does seem to be able to bring you closer to the light. When I first joined 9/11 Truth, a lot of people there were smoking cannabis, but they came to the table, and not paranoid, they had to get me, they came to the table very rationally to discuss pieces of evidence they brought to the table with them. So, this stuff helps you see through all the government bullshit, essentially. So my advice to people is don't believe what you're being told out there. And certainly please stop drinking alcohol, because alcohol is very, very bad for lowering your spiritual resonance, and therefore you will not be able to see the truth. You will not be able to know the truth about the Messiah because your consciousness won't be open to it.
Right. So, in conclusion then, so that people who have listened to the words that you've come out with there, David, what signs are they looking for that what you are foretelling here is on the way?
Well, I'd say to people, watch things like crop circles. They're telling you all about the changing universe. But just try themselves to take the first step on that journey. And that is a very simple step, and it's just to say, I will live in love. Obviously, I will find it very difficult to do so. Find it very difficult to do in my heart. But if I make that the position in my life that I'm going to do, I'm going to try as hard as possible to do that. And I will believe that there's a place for me in a divine plan. That's the beginning of the spiritual journey. So that's my advice to everybody to start with. Try and live in unconditional love. Get the 72 names of God. They're fantastic as a spiritual aid. And every day, try and meditate. Even if it's like 10 minutes of just trying to empty your mind of the chaos of thoughts and try and just then plug in. Now, you won't notice anything to start with, but believe me, if you can do that often enough, you will start to make a much stronger connection with the upper world and your life will start to get much easier.
And, of course, if people want to see you in action, they can come across some stuff on YouTube, I would imagine, as well, David.
That's right, yeah. There's the Shayla TV on YouTube. The website's about to go up, which is daveshayla.com. But one thing I want to get across about all of this kind of thing is, you know, everybody can be saved, whether, you know, they're Zionists or whatever. And one of the great things about this whole thing, people have written screeds about this secret. They've written all sorts of things about the meaning of life. They've written all sorts of things about the universe. But in fact, you don't have to be a great scholar. You don't have to know a lot. All you have to know about this whole thing is conquer the fear and embrace the love.
David Shayla, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning here on City Talk. And that's it for this week's podcast from the Roy Basnett Show on City Talk 105.9. Don't forget you can join me live on the radio each weekday morning between 2 and 6 a.m. on City Talk across the North West and North Wales on 105.9 FM or DAB Digital Radio. And of course you can listen live online at citytalk.fm. Don't forget there are more podcasts available from our other talk show hosts here on City Talk 105.9. Why not try downloading the Pete Price podcast, featuring some of the best guests and calls from his late night show. That's it for now. We'll catch you next week.
City Talk 105.9, the best of Roy Basnett. Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.